Today, a UK perspective on household finance. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and problem news with a distinctively Australian flavour. The financial situation of households is a key determinant of how they respond to changes in the economy and monetary policy. Differences in households' holdings of debt and assets affect how they respond to economic shocks and the likelihood that they will face financial distress. The Bank of England just released the results of their NMG biannual household survey, which was conducted on the 4th to 24th of September this year, with 6,051 households sharing their views. And today we look at some of their key findings as disaggregated household data, such as that provided by the NMG survey, show how different groups have been affected by economic events. Differences in households' holding of assets and debt may affect how they respond to economic shocks and the likelihood that they will face financial distress. And household outlook for their income, financial situation and job prospects are likely to influence their spending decisions. In summary, while households' income expectations were stable and positive this time around, spending expectations fell slightly and their expectations about the wider economy have continued to be negative. And by way of background, underlying UK GDP growth has slowed materially this year. That slowdown reflects weaker global growth, driven by trade protectionism and the domestic impact of Brexit-related uncertainty, with investment by businesses particularly affected. In contrast, although its growth has slowed, consumer spending appears to have been relatively resilient. In the second quarter of 2019, real consumer spending grew by 0.3% compared with the previous quarter, similar to the average rate since 2017, but lower than the average from 2013 to 2015. In the latest MNG survey, income expectations were stable, but the net balance of households expecting to increase their spending over the next months fell slightly to around zero. That's chart one. That balance has risen after the 2016 EU referendum, before falling back in 2019 during the first half of the year, largely mirroring the expected impact of Brexit on spending and the pattern of inflation over that period. This will be consistent with the recent declines in the net balance for spending, reflecting households' normal spending expectations. In the second half 2019 survey, households were asked why they expected to change their spending over the next 12 months due to Brexit. Most households expecting to change spending due to the referendum result reported that higher prices were the key reason, that's chart two, with fewer households citing changes in income or income expectations or changes in job security. While households' expectations around income and their own financial situation have remained relatively positive, their expectations about the wider economy have continued to be negative. Since prior to the EU referendum, there has been a growing divergence between households' expectations for their own situation, income, financial situation, and likelihood of losing their job, and their expectations for the wider economy. That's chart three. Household expectations for the economy fell further in the latest survey, while income expectations and job prospects remained stable. As in previous surveys, the divergence appears to be predominantly driven by those households who believe Brexit will have a negative impact on the economy over the next 12 months. Households' interest rate expectations have fallen slightly. The median household expects 125 basis point rate rise in interest rates over the next 5 years. And households' expectation on bank rate, the interest rate set by the Bank of England, have fallen since 2015, but for the first time since 2016, they were above measures of expectations implied by financial markets at the time of the survey, which is chart four. At every time horizon, this was mostly due to financial market measures shifting down considerably over the period. The median household now expects approximately 125 basis point bank rate rise within the next 5 years. In contrast, financial market measures implied a 25 basis point cut over the same horizon at the time of the survey. How much debt a household has relative to its income and wealth affects its vulnerability to adverse shocks. Two key indicators for analysing household vulnerabilities are debt servicing ratios, the DSRS, the proportion of key income spent on loan repayments, both capital interest, and debt to income, the DTI, multiples of households. During the financial crisis, households with higher levels of mortgage debt relative to income cut spending more sharply than other consumers. And the NMG and other survey data also suggests that the proportion of households experiencing repayment difficulties can rise sharply if a household has a mortgage debt service ratio above 35 to 40%. In addition to the distribution of debt, households' asset holdings can be a useful indicator of household vulnerability. Households with higher savings, especially where these can be accessed relatively easily, liquid assets, are more able to smooth through shocks. Household responses to both unemployment and inflation shocks are covered in the next section. In the latest survey, the proportion of households with a mortgage debt servicing ratio at or above 40% has remained stable at around 1%, while the share at or above 30% increased marginally, which is chart 5. In the second half of 2017, the proportions above both 30% and 40% increased sharply, but as the number of households involved is small, the annual increase in mortgage debt servicing ratios at 40% or above is not statistically significant. Since then, both shares have recovered to close to the historic lows. Around 3.5% of households reported an outstanding mortgage debt of more than four times their current pre-tax income, the highest level reported since the 2013 second half survey, chart 6. The increase in the proportion of households with a high mortgage debt-to-income ratio has been driven by strong growth in mortgage amounts outstanding, which has only partially been offset by nominal income growth. Since the second half of 2018, the average mortgage amount outstanding is reported to have grown by 15%, while the nominal income of a mortgage borrower is reported to have increased by 4%. Despite this, debt serviceability has been relatively stable, largely due to lower mortgage rates. Mortgage borrowers with a lot of debt have increased their savings in recent years, potentially enabling them to better smooth through future shocks. The total savings, deposits and investments of highly indebted households rose in the latest survey, with a continuation of the pattern reported last year. Within that, deposits held by vulnerable, high indebted mortgage borrowers has been rising. Over 55% of mortgage holders with debt more than four times their current pre-tax annual income have deposits greater than their monthly income. That's chart 7. Deposits can be accessed relatively easily by households, and households with higher liquid assets like deposits expected to cut back their spending by less in response to negative shocks. Consistent with this, and the relatively stable income and job loss expectations noted above, there has been a decrease in households' own perceptions of vulnerability, chart 8. The proportion of households that reported being very concerned about debt indicated that their unsecured debt was a heavy burden, or reported difficulties with accommodation payments, all fell back, having risen in 2017 and 2018. Now, the NMG survey has tended to significantly understate households' unsecured credit holdings compared to the aggregate data. To explore the possible reason for this, new consumer debt questions were added in the latest survey. Some respondents were asked to provide their total unsecured debt holdings, a top-down question, consistent with previous NMG surveys. A second group was asked to provide separate responses for different types of debt, a bottom-up question. And a third group was asked both types of questions. Analysis of responses and controlling for other characteristics suggests that some households may omit certain types of debt when only asked top-down questions. The average bottom-up response was 68% higher than the initial top-down response. As well as being higher, the bottom-up responses have growth rates much more consistent with the aggregate data, chart A. However, a large gap persists between the level of debt reported bottom-up in the NMG survey and that implied by aggregate data. This could be due to respondents being unaware of other household members' unsecured debt holdings. Perhaps consistent with this, the reported amount of unsecured debt per person falls as the number of adults in a household increases. Indeed, if we assume that only the respondees from the respondent and one other adult, e.g. a spouse, were accurately reported, this would take the average level of unsecured debt to 86% of the aggregate data average. A rise in unemployment is likely to impact consumers in two ways. First, there will be a direct effect for those who lose their job and do not find another one. For instance, some households may be forced to reduce consumption due to a lack of savings or an inability or unwillingness to borrow, even if they believe the fall in income to be temporary. Second, more indirectly, households still in employment may become concerned that they could also lose their job and their income could fall. Given this, they may choose to increase their savings to enable them to not have to cut back spending so abruptly should this event occur. The latest energy survey introduced new questions to explore the potential size of these direct and indirect effects. Half of respondents reported that they would cut monthly spending if they lost their job, and by 37% on average. However, as only a small share of households would be directly affected by a sharp rise in unemployment, the aggregate impact on consumption would be relatively small. To seek to understand the direct effect of job losses, respondents were asked to select up to three responses should they be made unemployed for at least 6 months. Around 50% of respondents indicated that they would reduce spending. The most common response, while nearly 40% said they would use savings to help maintain their spending. That's chart 9. Households that stated that they would decrease their spending in response to being made unemployed were asked by how much they would cut back. On average, these households said they would reduce spending by 37%. And households were also asked if they thought the period of unemployment would damage their long-term career prospects and lifetime earnings. For those who believe the fall in income would be temporary and so would like to borrow or dip into savings to smooth consumption, how much households would adjust its spending by for a given change in real income varied by balance sheet position. A sharp rise in the aggregate unemployment rate by around 3 percentage points to 7%, a rate not seen since the last recession, would have a relatively small direct effect on consumption. And using the NMG survey data, the level of consumption would fall by 0.5% in this scenario. And the same rise in unemployment would also have a very small impact on the share of high debt servicing ratio households. The percentage of households with a debt servicing ratio above 40% would increase from 1%, currently, chart 5, to 1.2%. One key factor underlying the relative stability of consumption and voluntary metrics in response to the direct effect on unemployment shock is that it is focused on a relatively small share of households. In addition, due to the presence of additional earners in many households, only around 40% of households would lose all their employment income if the main earner became unemployed. In terms of the indirect impact of a sharp rise in unemployment, a third of households reported that they would cut back on spending or increase savings due to the increased risk of losing their job, and the implied aggregate impact on consumption will be much larger than the direct effect, and highly indebted households expected to cut consumption by much more in such a scenario. To understand the indirect effect of a rise in unemployment, respondents were asked to consider what they would do if the unemployment rate in the country increased sharply to over 7%, a rate not seen since the last recession. A third of households responded that they would cut back spending due to an increased risk of job loss or fall in income, chart 10, with those households cutting back by 17% on average. NMG data suggests that the level of monthly consumption could fall by 5% in such a scenario. This is much larger than the direct effect, which in part reflects that the direct shock would only impact a small number of households. The expected fall in consumption and the consequent rise in saving was smallest for those with the largest existing savings and for those with lower incomes who are less likely to be able to save much to build a buffer. In addition, these precautionary saving responses appear to be larger for more indebted households, chart 11. This is likely to be part of the explanation for the findings that highly indebted households in the United Kingdom made larger cuts in spending during the last recession. A rise in inflation will reduce the spending power of households in the absence of a rise in incomes. In the short term, some households could choose to dip into their savings or increase their borrowing in order to carry on buying the same amount of goods or services. Others may choose to spend the same amount of money but buy less with it, so that their real spending, i.e. the volume of things that they can buy, would fall. How households reacted to to a rise in inflation would affect the economic outlook. The majority of households expected to smooth through the impact of inflation shock on spending, with real consumption expected to fall by around half the fall in real income in the short run. In this survey, respondents were asked what they would do if the cost of everything, food, clothes, travel, costs, getting your hair cut, getting the car wash, etc., increased by 4% from tomorrow and was expected to increase another 4% in the year after. Three quarters of households reported that they would smooth through such an increase in inflation, at least partially. Just over one in five households reported that they would buy the same item as they do now, even though it would be more expensive. A quarter of households thought that they would not increase normal spending at all, and in some cases would cut spending, so that their real spending would fall. The remainder reported that they would increase normal spending on some items, but not others. Their normal spending would increase, but real spending would fall. Households were then asked by how much they would change their spending in response to an inflation shock. This allows us to calculate their MPC. For a given change in real income caused by the rise in prices, this says how much each household would adjust its spending. On average, households will reduce their real consumption by around 50 pence for every dollar fall in real income. This is consistent with households' reported marginal propensities to consume in response to other negative income shocks. However, responses differed substantially across different household groups. For instance, households with more savings anticipated reducing their consumption less, chart 12. In contrast, on average, those households more concerned about their levels of debt or losing their job appeared less willing to smooth through the shock. So in conclusion, notwithstanding the uncertainty around Brexit at the time of the surveys, households' expectations for their own financial situation held up in the latest survey, though spending expectations and expectations for the wider economy remained more subdued. Data from the latest survey suggests there has been a slight rise in the proportion of households that spend a large share of their income on servicing their mortgage debt. Despite this, the cost of debt serviceability has been relatively stable, largely due to low mortgage rates. Evidence from the survey suggests that households would cut their consumption in response to an increasing risk of losing their job should the unemployment rate rise sharply. And the NMG data suggests this precautionary savings effect would have a much larger impact on aggregate consumption than the direct effect. This reflects the fact that the direct effect will be focused on a relatively small number of households, and the survey also suggests that households who are highly indebted would cut consumption more than those households with lower levels of debt in such a scenario. So reading across to Australia, I think we can conclude somewhat similar findings, insofar that those households with high levels of debt will definitely consume less and cut back, and indeed maybe even save more, in a time of crisis or uncertainty. And I also believe that that is precisely what we're seeing now, given the current data that we're seeing in Australia with regard to savings ratios and to spending at the shops. And as a result of that, I think we can also conclude that retail is going to continue to find it very tough here in Australia if the findings from the UK can be read across into the local situation. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.